Well, good morning to you. If you have your Bible, grab it. Open up with me to John chapter 12. Glenn Littweiler, one of the pastors here, is in Israel right now, but he left me a parting gift. This cold I seem to be struggling with. I sound exactly like him. Thank you, Glenn. John 12:42. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, we can get you a Bible. Raise your hand. We'll put one in your hand. But you got to raise it up so they can see it. Once you have it, turn with me to John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, on Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue or meeting place. 4 verse 43. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Father, we once again are privileged to have your presence here. Where two or more are gathered, Lord, you're in the midst. You're here with us. You're using your scripture to sharpen us. You're using worship, Lord, to refine our love for you. You're using prayer and your spirit to communicate. So, Father, we ask that once again on this Sunday, April 31st, that you would do a good work here. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. These guys here, it says they believed in Jesus, but they would not confess him because they loved the praise of men. They were, in today's words, a modern translation, they were people pleasers. They didn't want to confess. They didn't want to follow too close because they wanted to please people. They were closet Christians. They were fake followers. They were in bondage, really, to the opinion of other people. And that limited them. They wouldn't confess. I don't think there's any of us in here that at some point in life that we haven't found ourselves in a similar position. Finding our lives limited, finding ourselves in bondage to someone's opinion, what someone may or may not think about us. We've all been there. I've been there. I remember in the seventh grade, up to that point, I had gone to a private Christian school. It was very small. When I left that Christian school, there was only one person in my grade. It was K through 12th grade, but there were only 14 students in the whole school. It was small. Very small. And I went from that 14-student school, one guy in my grade, to North Middle School, 400 students. I was shocked. I felt as out of place as a double bacon baguette at a bar mitzvah. I like that one. I felt out of place. And I started going to North Middle School because my mom was a teacher's assistant there. So that's the school I started to go. And I could have got to school by a couple of means. I could walk. It was a half an hour walk from my house. A couple miles. Sometimes it'd be cold, sometimes it'd be raining. I could walk if I wanted to. Or I could get a ride with my mom. Seems like a simple decision. 5-minute ride in the warmth of a car seems real simple, but it's not for a seventh grader. Because my mom at that time drove a white 1962 Pontiac. It was huge. Massive car. The car was so big it had its own zip code, you know? It's just huge. And that was the 80s when cars were getting sleek and aerodynamic, and the Pontiac was neither. I mean, it was huge. And so I was embarrassed of that car. We called it the white whale. You know, I'm not going in the white whale. I would have honestly traded positions with Jonah. I'll be in the belly of a real whale rather than go inside that thing. Mom, I'm not driving in it. I was very embarrassed of that vehicle. Sometimes, though, because of situations, because I woke up late, I would be forced to ride in that car. I'd be late. But I had this knack figured out. About a block away from school, somehow the contents of my backpack would explode all over the floor. And so I could conveniently duck down and scoop them back in my backpack while we parked, and then slide out into class. Why did I do that? I was in bondage to the opinion of these kids. I didn't want to be embarrassed around them. I wanted to impress them. I liked to please people, just like these guys in our story. They wanted to please people. They wanted the praise of men, or we would say they wanted people to be pleased with them. Why is the question? Why are our lives so often dictated by the opinions of other people? Why do we modify our behavior, duck down in a car, walk for a half an hour, not confess? Why do we do that? Why do we do that when it's just the opinion of a person? Why? I think the answer to that question is very simple. There's a premise to people pleasing. There's a premise, and it's given to us really in verse 42. It says there, they wouldn't confess because they thought they would be put out of the synagogue. There's a premise to people pleasing. It's called fear. They were afraid, we would say, that they would be excommunicated. We're not going to be able to go to the synagogue, the meeting place, hang out, have our position any longer. We're going to be excommunicated. We're not going to be able to communicate. And that's what, quite often, I find myself doing. I find myself not being real, modifying my behavior, because I'm afraid of excommunication. They're not going to talk to me. They're not going to like me. They're going to cast me out. They're going to excommunicate me. They're not going to be my friend anymore if I'm real, if I confess, if I talk. Just like these guys. You say, well, come on, Matt. As a seventh grader, that's okay. Everyone in the seventh grade was messed up. I've been over to the junior high group. I've seen them. I mean, that's a dysfunctional crew right there. They're seventh graders. What do you expect? Well, you know, 22 years later, and I still battle it. See, a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a memorial service out at Applegate Christian Fellowship. And I got out there, and the people there, I knew most of them. A lot of them were from here. There was a lot of folks that I knew from Applegate. It was very comfortable for me. I was very at ease there and ready. I was prepared. I haven't, like I said, been nervous in a long time. I used to get so nervous, I've shared with you before, that I would set off seismographs. You know, I'd be shaking so bad. I'd register on the Richter scale. But it's been a long, God's done a good work in me. I don't get nervous anymore in front of people. So I didn't feel nervous at all. I felt really at ease there until John Corson walked in and took a seat. And oh my heart started pounding. I had butterflies in my stomach. I started fidgeting with my Bible. You can ask my wife. I don't know why I was fidgeting with my Bible. I just started, oh no, can I change what I'm going to talk about in the next 30 seconds? I was nervous. And as I walked up on the stage, I actually started to get that shake that I used to get many years ago. I started shaking a little bit. And so I got up on stage and I did what I used to do in those situations. I said, let's pray. Now that may sound very spiritual. It's not. It's a trick I learned. See, if I say let's pray, then you guys all close your eyes. So you don't see me shaking anymore. And I get to close my eyes and I don't see you anymore. So it's like a double blessing. And so I did that. So let's pray. And I do what I do quite often. I pause for a moment, a couple seconds. And as I paused, there was a distinct voice that spoke to me. And it said this to me. It said, Matt, you are being selfish. You are more concerned about impressing an individual, more concerned how you come across than you are about a family that just lost their loved one. They just lost their sister. That just lost their wife, their mother. You are being selfish, Matt. And it stopped me. And see, that kind of fear that these guys have here, that kind of fear, it's always motivated by selfishness. How do people view me? How am I coming across? How am I going to impress whoever, fill in the blank? There's a premise to people pleasing. It's a fear motivated by selfishness. We're selfish. I want people to like me. I want to impress John with a great message, whatever it may be. And what happens is this. If we're people pleasers, motivated by a fear that comes from selfishness, there's a problem that's linked with that. There's a problem that comes from people pleasing. There's a problem. Galatians 1:10 says this. Paul says, if I seek and desire to please men, he says, I cannot be the servant of Christ. Huge problem. If my desire is selfish, if my desire is to please men, for them to be impressed with me, for them to take note of me, Paul would say, then I cannot serve Jesus Christ. And you see that in these guys. They had a fear. We don't want to be excommunicated. We don't want to lose our chief spots. And so they couldn't serve Christ. They couldn't confess Christ. There's debates that theologians have. Were they actually saved? Because Jesus would say, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you don't confess me before men, I'm not going to confess you before my Father. Were they even saved? I don't know. I'll let theologians argue that. All I know is they were not serving Jesus. There's a problem with people pleasing. It causes you to not be able to be in service to your King. Well, Matt, that's harsh. Why would Paul write that? That seems harsh. It's not harsh. It's not God saying, Galatians 1:10, now you're disqualified. No. It's not now you're disqualified. Rather, it's a natural development of people pleasing. What do you mean? If our concern is just to please people, if we're dominated and in bondage to the opinion of people, this is what happens. The natural development is you will not serve Christ. You'll become, I believe, I've found in my life, when I'm all about pleasing people, you become paralyzed, number one. You become paralyzed. I don't want to give my testimony because I may not say the right thing, so no thanks, I'm not going to take that opportunity. I don't want to meet with that individual for lunch because what if I don't know how to answer one of his questions? He's a new believer. What if he asks me something that I don't know? You become paralyzed. You don't serve because you're so concerned about yourself. You're so concerned that you won't say the right thing. It's not God disqualifying you. Rather, it's a natural development of people-pleasing. You will paralyze yourself. You won't be used. You won't step into ministry. You won't step out. Well, I did such a good message last week. I don't want to blow it this week, so no thanks. I don't want them to know that I'm really a fake. I don't want to step out. That's what happens. You get paralyzed, number one. Number two, what I've seen happen is you become unstable. If my desire is to please people, you just become unstable because people are all over the place. One minute they love you, the next minute they hate you. One minute you're pleasing everybody. Man, that was such a great message. The next minute it's email city. What were you saying? That's heresy. It's all over the place. Just ask George Bush. 4 years ago, he was running numbers that were the highest of any president in recent history. 87, 90% approval rating. Fast forward 4 years, 2006. He's running some of the worst approval ratings in history. 30%, 34% the last one I saw. People are fickle. He's doing the same thing. People are fickle. If our opinion is based upon them, you'll see it go up and down, up and down. It's a roller coaster. You become unstable. Ask Michael Jackson. King of pop. Now the king of perverts. Tom Cruise. He was Top Gun when I was younger. Now, I don't know what he is. I mean, he's a total geek, I guess. Scientology, silent birth. You know, I don't know what he's thinking. People are fickle. One minute you're on top of the world, the next minute you're on the bottom. You become unstable. God wants to save us from that roller coaster. If you want to be a men pleaser, you're going to be on a roller coaster and you can't serve me because you're just going to disqualify yourself. You're going to be paralyzed. You're going to be unstable in that attitude. And I've found myself, depending on who I'm around when I want to please people, I act different. I talk different. I am different based upon who's there. Laughing at your boss's jokes even though they're dumb. Ha ha ha, oh, that was great. Oh man, you're so funny. Then you go out to eat with him and his wife and your wife and you still do it and your wife looks at you like, what is wrong with you? What did they put in your food? You just find you're unstable. You're unstable. You become double, triple, quadruple-minded, acting differently around all kinds, trying to satisfy so many people. You're unstable. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If we try to please people, what you're going to find is you just are unstable. Paralyzed. Unstable. I don't want to be paralyzed. I don't want to be unstable. But how do I prevent myself from people-pleasing? How do I do that? How do you do it? A couple things to think through this morning. A couple ways that I've found help me in preventing myself from being a people pleaser. First is, take a look at kids. Kids. Somehow, for some reason, kids don't seem to suffer from this. Young kids, little kids, not seventh graders, 3, 4, 5-year-olds. They don't struggle with pleasing people. They're just honest, sometimes just brutally honest. I can remember my daughter. It's about a year and a half ago. It was right before the 2004 elections when John Kerry and George Bush were running against each other during that section of time. And I was on the computer reading a story, and there was this big mugshot of John Kerry on the screen. And I'm reading the story about John Kerry, and my daughter, Carissa, comes up to me. And she looks at the screen, and then she looks at me. And then she looks at the screen, and then she looks at me. And she said, Daddy, Daddy. I said, yeah, Carissa. She said, Daddy, that guy looks just like you. It didn't end there. And I looked at her and I said, really, sweetie? And she said, yeah, he has a really big nose too. Thank you, sweetie. They're just honest. That's the way kids, there's no acting. They're just flat out honest. And what they do is they don't see any difference in people. Me, a Massachusetts senator. You guys are the same. President Bush or some kind of prisoner. They don't see any difference in people. They don't care. They haven't learned importance of people. They just see everybody the same. Who are you? Don't care? Can you come play? Me, John Corson came. Oh, great. What? Oh, man, I wish I would have studied. Oh, man. My daughter would say, John who? Can he push me on the swing? That's all they're going to care about. They don't see any difference in people. They see everybody the same. They're blind to that. And I believe one of the best ways you can prevent people-pleasing is it be like a kid. Jesus would say over and over in the New Testament, if you want to inherit the kingdom, you got to become like one of these kids. You got to become like one of these little kids. He's speaking of very small kids, kids that would jump up on his lap, that age. Not seeing any difference in people. In fact, the book of James chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, you can read it on your own, instructs believers that's how you have to be. There in James 2, verses 1 through 10, it says this. James says, let's say you're in church and a guy comes in and he's rich looking. He's in gay apparel, the King James says. I'll leave that one. He comes in and you say, wow, this guy's rich. Come up here and have a front seat with us. And then a moment later, in comes somebody that you can tell is poor. And you say, hey, sit over there. Stay over there. Stay down there. James would say, he would say, that is sin. God is not a respecter of persons. He treats every person the same. Doesn't matter if you're the president or you're a prisoner. God sees you as one of his kids. And that's how we as the church are to be. You want to prevent people pleasing? Treat them all the same. My prayer recently after that event has been, Lord, help me to treat each person as if they are the only person. Help me to treat each person you bring into my life as if they are the only person. Not looking over their shoulder, not waiting for someone else better to come along. Not, oh, well, you know, who else can I talk to here? No. Lord, help me. Prevent me from people pleasing, because that's gonna cause the problem of serving you. I'm not going to be able to. So Lord, help me treat each person as if they are the only person. That's how God would do it. That's how Jesus did. When you see Jesus ministering, he didn't hop from, you know, one important person to the next, try to climb the ladder of importance. Prostitutes, tax collectors, a woman married 5 times he spent an afternoon with. He treated every person he came in contact with as if they were the only person. That's what I want to do. And it helps you prevent trying to please people. Secondly, you see Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, in verses 1 through 7. He says there's a group of people that they want to please men. They're men pleasers. They want the praise of men. In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 7. When they give money, they have a guy that comes along with them and blows this trumpet. Look how much money I'm giving. Watch me. Look at this. Look at paper denomination. Boom. There it is. They blow a trumpet. When they pray, they have certain specified times of prayer so that everyone would know, well, it's prayer time. Let's go see who's going to pray. And they would pray in very loud voices and repeat things over and over for endless amounts of time. When they would fast, they would wear clothes that were all dirty, sackcloth. They wouldn't bathe. They would suck in their cheeks to let everyone know, oh, I'm fasting. Huh, I'm not going to have lunch today. I've been fasting for the last 3 days, you know. It's just something I do every week. Jesus said, that's what they do. They do that to get the praise of men. They do that to please men. He said, you guys are to be different. He said, when you give, don't let your left hand even know what your right hand is doing. When you pray, not in front of people, you pray, go into your closet alone and pray. When you fast, put on your best clothes, take a bath, anoint your head with oil. Don't let anybody know you're fasting. And he says this, your father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. Your father, which sees what you do in secret, when no one else is around, he is going to reward you openly. For some of us, we say, I don't think I want that reward. That's the booby prize. He sees what I do in secret? Oh, no. The Pharisees, they wanted to please people. They did their actions out in front of everybody. When they got home, they were yelling at their wives. Oh, when they're out in the synagogue, when they're at the temple, it's, praise the Lord, listen to me pray, but they go home and they get in an argument with their wife. Acting two different ways. Jesus says, live this way. Live life in the light of the Father. Live life in the light of the Father. He's watching what you do. He's paying attention. You act differently in front of your boss and then differently in front of the boys and then differently in front of your pastor. But guess what? Your father's watching the whole time. Your father's watching. Live life, Jesus would say in Matthew 6, 1 through 7, in the light of the Father. He is watching and he will reward either way. You don't have to modify your behavior because God never changes. If you're living life in the light of the Father, you never have to change. His opinion of you will never change. You don't have to act differently and laugh here and not laugh there and act giggly here and act intellectual there and be double-minded and all flipped out. You can just say, Lord, I'm always here living my life before you. Not working really hard when the boss shows up. Wow, look at me. Look how hard I work. And then once he turns his back, hey, by the way, like I was telling you. No, it's living life in the light of the Father. Not people-pleasing, not modifying your behavior based upon who's around. To me, those are two simple things that I've been trying to put into practice in my life. Treating every person as if they're the only person. And living my life in the light of the Father. Father, you see what I'm doing. I'm not going to worry about trying to impress my boss or trying to impress that person or giving that message differently because so-and-so is here. No. I'm going to do my life in the light that you're watching, in the light that you're seeing what I do. So what, Matt? Are we never to care what people think of us? Are we never to even worry about men's opinions of us? That's what some Christians do. They take these verses, these ideas, and they say if you're not acting weird, if you're not being bizarre, then you're not a true believer. You're not a true Christian. And they do some strange things. I cut this article out recently. Comes out of Florida. Shouldn't surprise me. This is a pastor, a church pastor, called deputies to remove 16 congregants who refused to stop singing as he tried to begin his sermon. If you have a problem with a message, just email me. I prefer that. Don't keep singing. Pastor David Noel reported a disturbance at the Bethany Seventh-day Adventist Church to Charlotte County Sheriff's Office when the group would not allow the Saturday morning service to continue. All 16 church members were issued trespass warnings and left the property, according to a sheriff's report. These people probably thought, we are standing up for the Lord. We are not people pleasers. We're doing what we believe is, well, you know what? You gave Christianity a black eye by this. People all over the world, this is on the AP, are reading this newspaper article saying,
what? What did you do? How did you act? That's bizarre. In fact, they wrote a book of bizarre things. It's bizarre things that happened in Florida. And this is included in it. So now it's published in a book as well. Good. That's not the idea here. If you read verse 43, this is what it says. It says, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It's a reversal of priority. They were more concerned about what men thought of them than what God thinks of them. It's a reversal of priority. The priority, that priority has to always be in our life to please God. Jesus would say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And I believe if you live your life saying, Lord, I just want to please you. I'm not necessarily interested in his opinion or her opinion of me, but I'm living my life in the light that you're always watching me. I'm going to treat people, I'm not going to be a respecter of persons. Then I believe everything else will be added to you. People that you need to please, you know what? You will please them. You see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus there in Luke chapter 2. He said, I'm about my Father's business. I'm about seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm about pleasing him. And then in verse 52, it says this. Jesus gained favor in the eyes of God and man. He gained favor in both. When? When he said, my priority is pleasing the Father. I'm not here to get the praise of men. I'm not here to please men necessarily. My priority is to please you, Father. And guess what? You'll get all that other stuff added in. It'll be added in. It's not that we should act weird, but rather it's that you should prioritize. Well, isn't that tough to please God? Isn't it difficult to please him? You know, he's perfect. He's holy. How do you please a holy, perfect God? Do you have to do miracles? How do you do it? What's interesting about Jesus is this. Jesus, the Father, the first time the Father said he was pleased with Jesus was not when he walked on water, not when he healed a lame man, not when he resurrected Lazarus, not when he fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. When Jesus got baptized in Matthew chapter 3. Simple. See, here's the good news. Pleasing the Father is much easier than pleasing people. You can please some of the people some of the time, but you will never please all the people all the time. Pleasing the Father is easy. It's simple. That's the good news. It's just obedience. Lord, you say to get baptized? I'm getting baptized. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's easy to please God. There's one thing you take away. It's this final point. God refers to himself as our Father. Over and over and over, he refers to himself as our Father. Dads, you know, it's real easy for your kids to please you. My daughter Gabrielle is 10 months old. She's just now learning to stand up, you know, where she can kind of balance. Now, I would never say to her, Gabrielle, I've been demonstrating to you for the last 10 months how to walk. You've seen me. I've carried you. You've watched me. You've seen how to do it. I've given you 10 months. For the last month, I've been holding you up and even prodding you along to walk. And yet you keep falling down. If you fall down one more time, that's it. You're on your own. Get a job. Pay your own way. Change your own diapers. I'm finished with you. No, you'd never say that. You say, Gabrielle, you stood for 1.64 seconds. Oh, that's so good. You beat your old record by 1/100th of a second. Daddy's so proud of you. That's a dad. That's our Heavenly Father. If you say today, I want to please you, God. I'm sick and tired of trying to please all these other people. It's causing me to be unstable. It's causing me to be paralyzed. I want to please you, Father. I want my life to be lived in the light that you're watching me. I want to treat every person as if they're the only person. God will say to you, I'm pleased. That's obeying me. I'm pleased with you. And not only is he going to be pleased with you, but he's going to reward you. What you do in secret will be rewarded openly. Simple message today. I want us to be a group that is able to serve our Father, is able to serve Christ. And we get so hung up on people's opinions of us, it disqualifies us in a way from serving him. So this day, say, Lord, today, I want to please you. I want to treat people the same. I don't want to look over my shoulder for somebody better. I don't want to try to climb a importance ladder, but I want to become like a kid. Can you come out and play? Can you push me on the swing? Real simple. Treat everyone the same. And Lord, I'm going to start living my life knowing you're watching me in the light that you see what I do. I don't have to try to impress people. I don't try to have to get people to watch me. But you see what I do, and you're going to reward me openly, and he will. That's what he'll do for you. And Father, this morning, we would ask that we would be a congregation that prioritizes on pleasing you. That our lives would be lived, Lord, to seek first your kingdom, to obey you and what you tell us to do, irregardless of how people may view it. We want to be those that, Lord, treat each individual as you would treat them, loving them enough to die for them. We want to be people, Lord, that live our lives knowing that what we do in secret will be rewarded openly. So enable us to do that this day, Lord. Empower us with your spirit. Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we need your help. We need your help not to be men pleasers. So help us. Thank you that you will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.